Thanks very much, Kit, for accepting some poems in Can Can. I'll start with a poem. Fiona asked me how my son was. This is how he is. It's also how I am sometimes, and I suspect it's probably how most of you are also some of the time. What have you to say about the man, the surface tensions of the man, accompanied by a file of memories, facts, half-truths that vaguely hold his head, his world, that merge with the guts it takes to keep walking, upright, proud, in the complexities of light, shadow, love, hate. He steps into himself daily, into particles of the universe that give things their shape and resonance, that sustain the idea of a future, of boy to beaten, to man, to dignity, and forward his foot, forward, undaunted, towards the unknown, the miracle that is wanting to survive. And this is one about how somebody else was and how I was as a result. Amends. I will demand love of you now. That thing that scares you shitless, being so unused to the search, to what you might discover about yourself. Blood, too, why not? The metaphorical stuff, gurgling deep in the gut of passion. It's the least a woman should expect. I'll give you an axe, so you can hack your way back out of the box you've been cowering in since the thrashing you got for being a curious boy, daring to explore beyond the authority of an absent father, the coldness of a frazzled mother, daring to engineer a life built on a dearth of affection. I will demand what is essential, simple things, the title of a book, a kiss, admission that others failed you, and that because of them, you fail yourself. No more than that, brutal as it is. It's quite scary to get applause between each poem, but carry on if you want. This is one which takes its title from a painting. It's probably not a title I would have given it, so in fact, well, the title of it is The Sound of the Autumn Wind. Every day this week, you've been shedding a leaf from the unpruned tangle of your heart, innocently growing stronger from root to bark to curious. Such is the language of light. Nests resonate in your chambers, changing key with the northerly wind you said was unlikely. And I know your fear. It storms every one of us. I'll scrounge in the dawn for your lips, your voice, recreate the memory of resin, acorns, everything you've seen and heard. Remember, you can turn away, invent another season, mellow in the scotch and madder of an intermittent sky. The world breezes, bends over your wilderness, whistling your name. I'll finish with the two that are in here. This first one is about a young woman who was 24 when she left home. Her name was Maria Salomea Skłodowska. She left Warsaw back in the 1800s and she went to Paris where she became very, very famous. I admire her particularly because she actually could speak Polish. The fact that she was Polish is irrelevant to me. She did become very, very famous because she Frenchified herself and became Marie Curie, so she discovered radium and polonium. Her house in Warsaw is Ulica Freta, number 16, that's the street and the number is number 16. I don't know whether you know, Warsaw was completely leveled after the Second World War. Hitler just said, get rid of every trace of that city. So they did, but it was then rebuilt. It's all a, sort of a replica now of what used to be there, so you really feel you're in medieval buildings. It's fantastic. Anyway, this was just the moment when she was Maria Skłodowska, ready to leave Warsaw. The wood seeps into your bones in a room that lives as if its grain and whorls were part of your nervous system, smooth, marrow, polished. In your tea, one lump, two, meticulous, the molecules contract till they disappear. Optical illusions have their own reality. Billowing on the balcony, Poland is diluted. Prussian Russian fission renames a people, invents a purpose of its own. But you can shut it out, indomitable, in a room that soon is rubble, while thunder splits the summer, partitions your future. Gladioli everywhere, alert to your black dress, alive, your luggage, waltzing in the street. And the last poem. The last poem I read is, yes, kind of about me when I was younger. I actually always wanted to be a princess. I gave that up a while back, that ambition. But part of being a princess was being able to dance and, you know, do princessy sort of things. And that's part of the reason why I gave up wanting to be a princess, because I actually never managed to learn how to dance. So I would, you know, then just look at the beautiful paintings, the impressionist paintings of those ballerinas, you know, I used to envy them greatly. Waiting for Lautrec. I could never, and still cannot, not for lack of trying. How does it go? No, negative, always. It involves me falling breathless, legs, tree trunks, girders. Did you know my coccyx bends the wrong way as a result? Swerves left, so much contusion. I gave up, up, oh, one last time, up in the air. But the flourish or gaiety is missing. It's all mostly aardvark again, in a gym slip, nose olfactory on the carpet, tuberally dentata, good for ants and mulch out in the middle of nowhere. Now my joints kick and scream a bit, starting, and I can even less. There's pain, the body's soliloquy without any of the grandeur. Earth pig, dependent on a low center of gravity, trying to x-ray its way into the secrets of the girls who can laugh like them, backstage with their legs behind their ears.
Anna Maria Croserano, who is all mostly aardvark. Who knew?